These days, we have pretty much the entire world's music, movies, and television shows at our fingertips. But would you be willing to ditch this convenience if it meant paying artists fairly? It's a question more and more music lovers are wrestling with, especially when it comes to one streaming giant in particular. There has been outrage over the Spotify CEO's perceived ethical failings, not to mention dwindling funds flowing to artists. A large number of high-profile artists have ditched the platform and taken their music with them. But is temporary outrage enough to turn people off streaming totally and turn them back into the concept of owning art? Tell me, if you're part of this move away from streaming, are you rebuilding your library of vinyl, CDs and MP3s that you own outright instead? And here to chat about it with me is Steve Bell. He runs an independent record store in Brisbane and an indie music label. And Dr. Ben Green, who is a music sociologist from RMIT University. Ben, what's behind this round of artists pulling their music off Spotify?
Well, Tegan, I think it was summed up very well by the singer-songwriter David Bridie the other day. Some listeners might remember him from My Friend the Chocolate Cake. And he wrote in The Guardian, "Spotify used to seem like a necessary evil for musicians. Now it just seems evil." So what he's talking about there is that the sort of necessary evil is that for its whole life, Spotify has been the leader of the streaming model of music. And under that model, we're all quite aware that musicians don't, for the most part, see much income from their recordings. And we've realised that Australian and especially new artists are struggling to cut through to audiences on those platforms. So there is this simmering resentment against this model of streaming that Spotify really is the face of. But occasionally this boils over. And the recent trigger is that, as you mentioned, the Spotify CEO, Daniel Ek, he leads an investment firm that's invested $1 billion in weapons technology like AI weapons and drones, just at a time when we're all seeing this kind of tech used in atrocities. And so my sense is that musicians are thinking, I've endured this system, someone else is making money and I'm not, but if that's the case, why should I let my work be used to fund something that I'm actually morally opposed to?
So that's a very specific example with one streamer. Does it mean it's all rosy on all the other platforms?
Well, short answer, no. I think it's significant that musicians and fans are looking behind the curtain more and taking an interest in who owns things and the flows of money behind things in the music business. There's this new level of economic literacy, you could say. And if you're so inclined and you do some Googling about music streaming platforms, by the way, Google's very much bound up in the same flows of money, you find it's pretty hard to keep clean. And the reason is that these platforms tend to be in that tech investment world, and they're owned at least partly by the same global private equity firms that are investing in weapons or colonialism or carbon emissions and so on. I should say one platform that is generally regarded as more ethical, especially on artist payments, is Bandcamp. But that's more like an online shopfront where artists place their music. But even they had a controversy a few years ago when they got bought out by a games company and there was concern about their labour dealings.
So, Steve, you've got an indie label as well as owning a record store here in Brisbane. Are there artists on your label considering leaving streaming services?
I have had a couple already that have spoken to me about, just in a preliminary manner, about the realities of removing their music because they're seeing some of their peers and contemporaries doing it and are pretty keen to follow suit. Like Ben just said, it's pretty much, this weapons saga is almost the straw that broke the camel's back rather than the sort of crux of the issue. There's been all these issues such as, AI music and ghost artists and the way that the algorithms are being set up to sort of deprive artists of the income, the measly income that they're already getting. And, you know, the music industry is generating as much money now today as it was in its 90s heyday, but now that money is getting siphoned off to the tech sector rather than going back to labels and musicians. And everyone's a bit sick of it. And, yeah, this has just been a convenient point that's got everyone sort of tipped over, I think.
That's so interesting that you say that it's the money's still coming in that way. I think that's not a story that we hear very often. Ben, can we put some figures around, if you're not an artist, you probably don't know, how much a muso is getting for a stream?
Yes. Well, so streaming platforms, they don't pay a fixed rate per stream. What they do is each month they tally up all their revenue from the subscriptions and the ads, and there's a portion that then they divide up according to how many streams each rights holder had. So the rights holder might be a record label or an artist if they're independent. But we do get to see the averages that are paid out. And Spotify is usually near the bottom of that list, partly because they have the most streams. And that's half a cent or less per stream usually. So 1,000 streams equals $5.
Yeah.
Their competitor Tidal, famously started by Jay-Z, the rapper, markets itself as the highest, and they generally are. That's a bit more than 1 cent per stream, and that's partly because they're subscription only and they charge more. And Apple's in between, Amazon's in between, close to Spotify. The thing is, these cents are paid to the rights holder, which, as I said, that's often a record label. And as we know from last century, that the artist might only see a fraction of the money their label takes in, depending on their contract and their debts and things. And as we know, there's all sorts of labels, big and small.
But isn't that kind of just the business model, right? You've got this massive platform. It's a volume game. You're putting out as much as possible. Steve, like, what would be a fairer way of doing this?
Look, it's hard to say in this new digital age what an equitable system would look like, but just the reality is that the one that we've got at the moment is just completely unfair and rigged towards the tech companies. And I mean, the reality is if we keep depriving artists of income and opportunity to actually forge a career, then music's only going to be an option for people who are already independently wealthy. And if you put barriers on art, that's just, it's awful for humanity just about, you know, like we need to let people build a career if they want. And there's just too many barriers at the moment.
I should say we did reach out to Spotify for comment. They didn't provide a statement, but they directed us to their website, which says exactly when and how much artists and songwriters get paid depends on their agreements with their record labels and distributors. As Ben mentioned before, Spotify makes payments to rights holders who pay this to artists according to their own individual agreements with the artists. And according to Spotify's Loud and Clear webpage, Spotify paid $10 billion to the music industry in 2024, saying it's the highest paying retailer globally. You are here on Life Matters on Radio National with me, Tegan Taylor, talking to Steve Bell, who runs an independent record store in Brisbane and an indie music label, and Dr. Ben Green, a music sociologist from RMIT University. And I've been asking whether you're turning away from streaming and rebuilding your library of owned media. Matthew says, I never stop purchasing physical media because I don't want a streaming corporation determining what I can and cannot watch. I also purchase digital media, so I own the digital download for the same reason. Matthew says, I've got a wonderful collection of Blu-rays, DVDs, CDs and vinyls. Friends laughed at me at first. Now they're seeing the wisdom as their favourites are eliminated from streaming libraries. Those DVDs they threw away are now sorely missed. Another says, never got rid of my vinyl or CDs. We've got young musicians in the family. They alerted me to the streaming model that is so dodgy. Thank goodness for the young generation. Steve, in your record store, are you seeing an uptick? Are you seeing this kind of translating into people coming in and buying more physical media?
Definitely. And it's been happening for probably the best part of a decade now, especially, you know, with the vinyl revival. But every day I get people coming in asking questions about turntables and the realities of buying music because they're just setting out on their vinyl voyage. People are turning to it. It's aspirational now. You see it in a lot of movies and what have you. The interesting one that I've noticed, and I know this is happening anecdotally from friends in the States as well, is that younger music lovers are turning to CDs at the moment. Physical media is still aspirational for them too. They want to get into it. They realise that the art, having the artwork and the lyrics and the better sound is all positive. But, you know, turntables are quite expensive and vinyl is getting quite expensive, unfortunately. So CDs are a cost-effective entry point and they're filling their boots with cheap CDs at the moment, same as people were doing with records probably 20 years ago.
So, Ben, do you think this is sort of a flash in the pan with a bit of outrage now, or do you think this is the start of a true shift?
Well, personally, you know, I know a handful of people who have switched off Spotify in recent weeks, but, you know, in context, Spotify's got 700 million listeners worldwide. Only about a third of that actually subscribe. The rest put up with the ads. Mm. Apple's got about 100 million. Tidal's got about 20 million. So a few people, you know, might not make that much of a dent. But I do know that, as Steve was just saying, there's a lot of people out there who want to invest in the artists they like. And they're looking for a place to put their money. There are people that do like to own things and to feel a part of things. The industry at the moment, speaking of investment, Goldman Sachs just put out a report about the super fan who wants to spend up big on their favourite artist. And the industry is excited about this person. They buy box sets and they buy the VIP tickets. And people are fatigued with the streaming. You know, some of that convenience, it's all about convenience. And when the convenience starts to go, then you question the other things. But I guess it's about platforms are kind of good at music as a functional thing and music as a background. But as we know, that's not all music is. It's also a physical pleasure. It's about your identity. It's about feeling a part of something and connected to something. And I can't see that going away.
Well, thank you both for joining me on my favourite streaming alternative, radio. Steve Bell runs an independent record store in Brisbane and an indie music label. Dr. Ben Green is a music sociologist from RMIT University.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.